Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, as I said before, always a pleasure doing my Christmas shows because there's so many things to talk about, so many interesting people to talk to and with. And so we thought we'd start out with a couple of essays by very talented Jack Spadafora. One's entitled A Great Month. Jack writes, "Big, busy month, December. As far back as the pagan ancients, this was the solstice month of sharing the memories of the past year and celebrating the magic of the present moment. Back then, tribal bonfires, frenzied dancing, and assorted rituals to appease the gods. Today, city lights, frenzied shopping, and assorted rituals to the gods of our choice. Among these rituals are some of the very best characteristics to our humanity. We publicly festoon our communities with garlands and lights, offer good causes our time and talent, greet one another with added warmth and sincerity, cherish our children with special attentions and affections. The world that was winter drab and gray just a few weeks ago is now suddenly timelessly festive and bright. It's why we find ourselves saying, why couldn't it be like this every month of the year? But you see, I believe it can. Think about it. There isn't a single thing exclusive to this month that isn't equally available every other month of every other year. Lights, garlands, rituals, good causes, good family and friends, these are available 365 days of each year. So are our cherishable children, of whatever age. So look at it this way. December is like this great play we put on every year. We do it because, well, we need to break the routines of living in order to make room for the rewards of living. However, in so doing, we may be missing something, like the fact that this great play, its script, its players, its dialogue, and its gods are available to us the other 11 months of the year as well. Interesting. And then Jack writes, A Time for Hope. Remember Marley's ghost? Well, I met him recently in my morning mirror, chains and all. The chains I saw there were all those many past mistakes, missed opportunities, unmet challenges, and all-around failure to hear what life was whispering to me. I imagine that makes me, like old Marley, very much part of the human condition. Not many of us walk through the world without dragging some kind of chains. Of course, it depends on what we do with them, right? Marley used them to frighten Scrooge into rethinking his life. Clarence used them to help George Bailey realize it was still a wonderful life. With the Nativity, Jesus took on himself the chains humanity has been coiling around itself ever since Eden. In my case, maybe yours, I suspect the task begins by correctly identifying the chains. Instead of guilt, maybe they should be understood more as regrets. Guilt is a pretty destructive force, whereas regret starts with the assumption there's still something positive we can do about it. Now, that may be putting too hopeful a spin on past errors. Yet isn't this holy season the season for hope? Very much like Marley hoped for Scrooge, Clarence hoped for George, and the Holy Family hoped for us. Really, then, it's not too big a stretch for us to hope for ourselves. Hope to break some old chains and build some new horizons. And what better time than Christmas time and upcoming New Year's? I'm Jack Spadafora. A Time for Hope, true. You know, there's always heartfelt stories about Christmas, and this one, if I can get through it without bringing a tear to my eye. I got this from my dad when he was alive. Very touching. Coincidence? I think not. I was driving home from a meeting this evening about 5, stuck in traffic on the boulevard, and the car started to choke and splutter and die. I barely managed to coast into a gas station, glad only that I would not be blocking traffic and would have a somewhat warm spot to wait for the tow truck. It wouldn't even turn over. Before I could make the call, I saw a woman walking out of the Quickie Mart building, and it looked like she slipped on some ice and fell into a gas pump, so I got out to see if she was okay. When I got there, it looked more like she had been overcome by sobs than that she had fallen. She was a young woman who looked really haggard with dark circles under her eyes. She dropped something as I helped her up, and I picked it up to give it to her. It was a nickel. At that moment, everything came into focus for me. The crying woman, the ancient Suburban crammed full of stuff with 3 kids in the back, 1 in a car seat, and the gas pump reading $14.95. I asked her if she was okay and if she needed help, and she just kept saying, "I don't want my kids to see me crying," so we stood on the other side of the pump from her car. She said she was driving to California and that things were very hard for her right now. So I asked, "And you were praying?" That made her back away from me a little, but I assured her I was not a crazy person and said, "He heard you, and he sent me." I took out my card and swiped it through the card reader on the pump so she could fill up her car completely, and while it was fueling, walked next door to the McDonald's and bought 2 big bags of food, some gift certificates for more, and a big cup of coffee. She gave the food to the kids in the car, who attacked it like wolves, and we stood by the pump eating fries and talking a little. She told me her name and that she lived in Kansas City. Her boyfriend left 2 months ago and she had not been able to make ends meet. She knew she wouldn't have money to pay rent January 1st, and finally, in desperation, had finally called her parents, with whom she had not spoken in about 5 years. They lived in California and said she could come live with them and try to get on her feet there. So she packed up everything she owned in the car. She told the kids they were going to California for Christmas, but not that they were going to live there. I gave her my gloves, a little hug, and said a quick prayer with her for safety on the road. As I was walking over to my car, she said, "So, are you like an angel or something?" This definitely made me cry. I said, "Sweetie, at this time of year, angels are really busy, so sometimes God just uses regular people." It was so incredible to be part of someone else's miracle. And of course, you guessed it, when I got in my car, started right away and got me home with no problem. I'll put it in the shop tomorrow to check, but I suspect the mechanic won't find anything wrong. Sometimes the angels fly close enough to you that you can hear the flutter of their wings. Very touching story. Well, a good way to introduce our next very special guests is by playing some music from the Nutcracker, Tchaikovsky's great masterpiece, and done by Rich Daniels and the City Lights Orchestra. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Music from the Nutcracker by Rich Daniels and the City Lights Orchestra. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. It is Christmas Eve in Nuremberg, Germany, and Dr. Stahlbaum is giving a party for his children, Marie and Fritz. Godfather Drosselmeyer arrives bringing presents and amuses the children with mechanical dolls. To Marie, he gives a nutcracker in the shape of a toy soldier. The spiteful Fritz breaks it, but Drosselmeyer mends it at once. The party goes on, grown-ups and children enjoying themselves, until Marie falls asleep, clutching her present in dreams. And magically, she dreams of the battle with the Mouse King, her nutcracker as he turns into a handsome young prince, the Snow Queen, the Sugar Plum Fairy in the Land of the Sweets, and the classic music of Tchaikovsky. And in a commentary written on the nutcracker, it is through Drosselmeyer's magic and love that this never-ending dream of Christmas transports Marie and enables each of us to revisit the land of innocence, our childhood. Ballet Chicago brings toe shoes full of joy this holiday season. Mark your calendars. Ballet Chicago is bringing Chicago the gift of dance this holiday season. Come and celebrate the joy and wonder of the holidays. The holidays are not complete without taking the family to see Ballet Chicago's production of The Nutcracker. Performed by more than 150 cast members, this simple tale of a young girl's dream is an enriching and wonderful experience for the entire family to enjoy. Now in its 18th consecutive year, this popular Chicago holiday tradition will be presented in 7 public performances from December 13th through the 21st at Chicago's historic Athenaeum Theater, located at 2936 North Southport. And on the line with us right now is the principal dancer of the world-renowned New York City Ballet and student of the legendary George Balanchine. Star of stage, screen, and television, Daniel has been seen on PBS Dance in America, the Dayton Ballet, and the Royal Danish Ballet, recipient of the Ruth Page Award from the Chicago dance community. Teacher, mentor, one of the brightest stars in the world of dance and ballet, and the founder and artistic director of the Ballet Chicago, now sharing a Christmas tradition in Ballet Chicago's 18th presentation of Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker, December 13th through the 21st at the Athenaeum Theater, 2936 North Southport. On the line with us right now is Mr. Daniel Duhl. Daniel, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you, Kevin.
Great to have you, and certainly a special time for you, I would imagine, and Ballet Chicago.
Oh, it is an annual joy. It's interesting, you know. As one of the principal male dancers of New York City Ballet, I performed hundreds of nutcrackers, and then since then we have been dancing it for many years, and I never tire of that extraordinarily beautiful music and what happens with those young artists on stage. It's a miracle.
You know, it's funny you say that. Mother and father took me to see the Nutcracker. I have taken my children since Ruth Page was at the Airy Crown Theater, and never miss a year, and it never gets old, Daniel. I just love it, and my kids love it, and now my grandchildren are starting to love it too.
Well, that's the enduring power of a story with a true heart in it.
And you worked with a gentleman who began this all, very frankly, in the United States, George Balanchine.
Yes, George Balanchine was indeed my mentor, and I was blessed to perform it for many years under his direction as one of his dancers.
And back in 1954 in the New York City Ballet, why did he come across this, or why did he feel that it was necessary to bring the Nutcracker to the United States?
It was a part of his tradition growing up in Imperial Russia, when the ballet was very, very big, and ballets like the Nutcracker and Swan Lake were coming to the fore, composed by Tchaikovsky. These huge and glittering productions revolving around very simple and yet kind of magnificent stories of human spirit were a part of his growing up life. And as a visionary for dance in America, when he came, I think it in a way is kind of logical that at some point he would say, we need this for America.
Back in when he was growing up. So these ballets then were opulent affairs that people would go to, whether it was the Bolshoi or Mariinsky Ballet and so forth.
That's
and
right.
People would all come and enjoy this. And the Nutcracker, of course, the three ballets by Tchaikovsky, the Nutcracker, Sleeping Beauty, and Swan Lake is something they'd all enjoy.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So it was inevitable that he brought this to the United States, and we have been enjoying them ever since.
Yes. And our version of it actually borrows a piece of Mr. Balanchine's choreography.
Really?
In Act Two.
Okay.
I say we borrow it. We get special licensing for it because of my background and the mm-hmm. fact that I was personally coached in that role by Balanchine. But the Act Two Pas de Deux is really considered one of the pinnacles of beauty in the ballet repertory. And we are the only ones performing it in the entire region.
Now, of course, you direct this, and being the artistic director of Ballet Chicago, do you ever get, like an athlete would get, Daniel, say, man, geez, I'd like to get back on the stage and try this again? Or you say, well, I don't know if my knees are going to handle it.
Oh, well, for years, I did. You know, I've just got to a place now where I have a kind of the ability to indicate clearly, but not still do.
Sure, okay. And as proud as Balanchine was to pass that on to his students, I would imagine you hold that same pride passing this on to your students and your students' students.
Oh, indeed. One of the treasures of both people's long-term faith in us and also an ongoing miracle to witness is something like somebody who has been a Marie starting out
mm-hmm.
as a young girl and now become the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Mm-hmm.
We have artists like that this year.
Have you run across or come across some very, very talented people who will be those stellar stars of the future?
Indeed we have.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed we have. We've got them on our stage this very season.
And I think what's interesting that you do is that you bring the ballet to the public schools and so forth because you have a continuing education program with the schools. Tell us a little bit about that, because I think that's so very important to have kids who might not otherwise see the ballet now all of a sudden develop a taste for it, something that might have intimidated them before, but because of what you're doing, doesn't.
Yes, I think the opportunity to experience live performance with all the impact and the magic of it is critical to young people understanding what can be possible for them and to open up creative thoughts about where their future might lead in ways they hadn't expected before. Lift them out of having to get a job and maybe finding a job that's following a dream as well.
And
yes, we have performances that are dedicated specifically to Chicago public school children. We do three of those a year.
And I think that's important as us, as parents and grandparents and teachers and mentors and so forth, is to bring that joy of going to the ballet or the theater to young people. Because I think so many times, and I've heard this so many times from adults also, Daniel, you know, they're intimidated a bit, whether it's the opera, whether it's going to see Shakespeare, whether it's coming to the ballet. Well, I don't understand it, so I don't want to go. Well, if they only take the time of maybe, you know, they're not going to understand Elizabethan English because we don't live in Elizabethan England to be able to understand that. But if you knew the story, then you can enjoy the art of what's on stage. The same thing with ballet. If you can understand the story of the ballet, sit back and enjoy what's happening because they're talking to you with their movements, with their dance, and with the music that accompanies it.
Well, Kevin, I'm so glad you raised that point because making ballet accessible for families through a beautiful story like The Nutcracker is a critical part of developing those audiences. And in our case, we have been very conscious of making it family-friendly in a variety of ways. For one thing, it's beautiful dancing throughout. You don't have dull moments, and we, in fact, have shortened Act One by almost 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Our battle scene is not a long, extended field battle between hordes of mice and little shoulders. Our battle actually takes place between the Nutcracker Prince himself and the Mouse King.
Okay.
and it lasts under 2 minutes. Then there are some other portions from the party scene that we've shortened that help our Act One to move along very, very swiftly. So perception of audience, this is one reason our performances have grown so much, is that this is very family-friendly in length, in affordability, and yet it's a very full production that you don't find a dull moment in.
Well, we're bringing a big group of the Moores there and some little ones, too, a couple of them, which is their first Nutcracker. One of my granddaughters has seen it before. But I think that's when you got a 5 or 6 year old, you know, you're going to lose them a little bit if you wait too long there and take too long. And what happens is I think that you pique their imagination, then they look forward to the second act too.
Yes, that's right. And so our goal was to keep Act One moving right along swiftly and then just jump into that beautiful Act Two.
What's the timelessness of the Nutcracker? Why is it so important for us to see this ballet, Daniel?
You know, I would say three things. One is the very human story of a little girl's dreams, and in a way, the majestic and epic feelings she has that lead her to her future. People identify with that. That's the first factor. It's just such a beautiful and simple and human story. Secondly, Tchaikovsky's music is amongst the most beautiful ever written, and the world never tires of it. And thirdly, the beauty of the dancing keeps people coming back and back and back.
Well, it's so well put, and you know, you still get goosebumps. I still do when I hear the score for the Nutcracker. Even without seeing it, I still do.
Yes, I do too. Indeed.
There's an old saying, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And I think that's what you're doing here with Ballet Chicago, Daniel, not only for the students, but your ability and your welcoming attitude about bringing ballet to those people who are out there, otherwise might not be able the opportunity to see it.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, my wife, Patricia, and I so identify with this together. She is the co-founder and our school director. And we were blessed to find a career that we discovered through experiencing live performance as youngsters. And the opportunity to give it back on an ongoing basis is indeed very fulfilling.
And no better time to do it than around Christmas time with the Nutcracker.
That is true.
Evidently, you can leave the Nutcracker, but the Nutcracker may never leave you. The ballet's rhythms and a host of associated memories don't disappear. They just get filed away in part of the brain and released in flashbacks filled with sometimes early memories and emotions. And, of course, there's the whole Christmas thing. The Nutcracker serves up an idealized Christmas on a platter full of treats that everyone has been promised at one time or another by our parents or by books and movies and TV specials. Christmas can be a joyful and problematic holiday for nearly everyone. It's not religious enough for some. It's too religious for others. It's lonely for those without family. It's too full of relatives for those who have had enough of being known by a childhood nickname. There's pressure to spend money, to commune, to be festive, and the holidays can become a time of heightened expectations and recurring disappointments. The Nutcracker, however, is simpler. Like Christmas, it always comes around in December. But no one expects quite so much from a ballet, so its gifts can be discovered in a more relaxed manner. It provides for all of us a small oasis of beauty, inspiration, and togetherness for the holiday season. Since its founding, Ballet Chicago has become an internationally recognized professional track school of ballet. The school is dedicated to rigorous technical training and a culture that fosters personal growth and artistic excellence. Ballet Chicago represents a diversity of dance students from all ethnic and economic backgrounds. The school enrolls more than 500 students annually from across Chicago, the United States, and the world. Ballet Chicago performances throughout the year touch the hearts of thousands of audience members, young and old alike, at major venues in Chicago. Ballet Chicago was co-founded in 1988 by acclaimed dancer-choreographer Daniel Duhl and former ballerina Patricia Blair. Duhl performed as a principal male dancer with the New York City Ballet under the world-renowned choreographer George Balanchine. And Patricia Blair's distinguished career included performing many Balanchine works under the direction of Balanchine star Edward Villella. Through its inspiring story, holiday music, and charming choreography, the Nutcracker is a celebration of the joyous holiday season. Every year, the Nutcracker takes us on an unforgettable journey with young Marie as she travels from her home on Christmas Eve to the kingdom of snow and the land of the sweets. For adults, it is a time to relive cherished memories of childhood. For children who wait with breathless anticipation for the holidays to arrive, it is the opportunity to create new memories. For everyone, it is a time for sharing and giving among family and friends. Mark your calendars. Ballet Chicago is bringing Chicago the gift of dance this holiday season and celebrate the Nutcracker December 13th through the 21st at the Athenaeum Theater, 2936 North Southport Avenue. And on the line with us right now is the founder and artistic director of Ballet Chicago, Daniel Duell. Daniel, a pleasure to chat with you. Maybe a phone number or website if people would like to get some information?
For Ballet Chicago, you can go to balletchicago.org.
You know, delightful to chat with you, and certainly always love to chat about the Nutcracker, and I'm looking forward to bringing my group to see it, and I hope that a lot of people are looking forward to the same.
I so appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I will wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Daniel.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Daniel Duell, the artistic director and founder of Ballet Chicago. Great opportunity to see ballet done with very talented young people, and certainly something that around the holiday season, it's always become a tradition, and that is from December 13th through the 21st at Chicago's historic Athenaeum Theater, 2936 North Southport. For information, 773-935-6875. And this is also something interesting, and I want to forget this. Linda Peters, the director of marketing for Ballet Chicago, asked me to mention this. The Dance Along Nutcracker. That's at the Chicago Cultural Center December 7th. Let your inner sugar plum fairy out with Dance Along Nutcracker, presented at noon and again at 3 on Sunday, December 7th at the Chicago Cultural Center, 70 East Washington Street in downtown Chicago. This crowd participation event lets you be part of the show. Whether you always wanted to be a waltzing flower or the little heroine Marie, you'll find a part to play in Dance Along Nutcracker, one of the holiday season's most popular outreach events. As an added bonus, Ballet Chicago faculty members will conduct ballet classes 1 hour prior to each show, at 11 for the noon show and at 2 for the 3 p.m. show. Last year, more than 1,000 would-be dancers joined in the fun, and Ballet Chicago is honored to participate in this event again this year. This program is free and open to the public. Toe shoes are not required, but toes are, actually. For info, 312-251-8838. Sounds like a lot of fun. The Dance Along Nutcracker, December 7th at noon and at 3 at the Chicago Cultural Center, 78 East Washington Street in downtown Chicago. And again, for information, 312-251-8838. Listen, our musical memory can help us anticipate a great evening to come or recall a truly magnificent night in our life. Music cannot exist to us without our ability to hear, but it can touch upon all of our senses when it lifts our spirit above the rooftops with feelings of passion, joy, and bliss. Since 1974, Rich Daniels and the City Lights Orchestra have been creating moments and evenings such as this. The many men and women who have been a part of this musical journey over these many years have taken the best moments from the American popular songbook of the 20th century and inspired and excited countless thousands of people across the United States. Inspiration, imagination, music. Rich Daniels and the City Lights Orchestra. And we all know nothing makes us feel better than Christmas music. For many years, the friends and supporters of Rich Daniels and his City Lights Orchestra have asked him to create a CD that captures the annual Christmas concerts presented each year with the City Lights Orchestra. The Cardinals Christmas Concert, featuring the City Lights Orchestra, conducted by Rich Daniels with very special guest Francis Cardinal George, recorded live at Holy Family Catholic Church in Chicago. The Cardinals Christmas Concert captures the City Lights Orchestra at its very best, with inspiring sacred and secular Christmas selections, as well as Cardinal Francis George reading the beautiful Christmas Gospel according to St. Luke. The Cardinal also recorded special material that captures his reflections of growing up in Chicago and the Christmas of his youth. The Cardinal's Christmas Concert will make a wonderful gift for family and friends and an exceptional keepsake of the Cardinal. Today marks a significant change within the Chicago Archdiocese, as Bishop Blaise Supich becomes the 9th Archbishop of Chicago, and Francis Cardinal George begins his retirement after 17 years of service. Please help us honor Cardinal George as he steps down with his beautiful tribute while also supporting the City Lights Foundation. On the line with us right now is the award-winning musician, one of the most successful entertainers to have come from Chicago's South Side, proud Brother Rice Crusader from Tommy Moore, jazz saxophonist extraordinaire, one of the brightest stars in the world of big bands, and the leader and conductor of Chicago's favorite orchestra, the Rich Daniels City Lights Orchestra, now celebrating the Cardinals Christmas concert featuring the City Lights Orchestra CD. Richie's newest Christmas CD on the line with us is Richie Daniels. Richie, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hey, Kevin. How are you? It's so nice to hear your voice. Thanks for having me back on, and thanks for the lovely words. I wasn't sure whether you were reading copy that was written by you or my mother at that point, but thank you.
Nice. God bless your mother. She'd say the same thing, I'm sure. Well, you know, this is exciting. It's a great, great CD. I've enjoyed it all week, of course, since you sent it to me. And I especially enjoyed the little dialogue you had, the conversation you had with the Cardinal.
Well, that was kind of a special moment for me. I mean, the Cardinal's been someone we've gotten to know over the past 17 years during his tenure as Archbishop of Chicago, and he's been very gracious to us, very kind. The guy's got a hard job. I mean, you know, he's taken a lot of hits in the press over the years, and he's had lots of things he's had to deal with in his position. And in his interview with me, he clearly says some things I did well, some things I failed at. You know, he admits his humanness. And I liked the interview because it showed a warm side to him, someone who cares, someone who, you know, really wanted to do good for everyone. And it was a very nice set of moments we had together. I very much enjoyed it.
Well, I enjoyed it, too, and I know a lot of people will when they pick up the CD. And, you know, is he any different than any of us? He's got his own job. He's got a tough job to do, and he was kind of had a lot of things in his lap that he had to take care of. He had enough responsibility for.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there was a lot of baggage that was, you know, accumulated over many decades long before he ever got to Chicago. And, you know, he had to find a way to try and clean up best he could, and it was a challenge, obviously, and like you said, some things he did well, some things he failed at, and I think he's the first one to admit it.
But as I was listening to your conversation with him, it brought back, you know, our own time when we were young on the South Side of Chicago, and our parents would take us down to Marshall Fields, and we'd go and sit under the tree and enjoy the windows and so forth. And it kind of took us back from that, and I was thinking about it myself, how those times where they're so long ago just seemed like yesterday.
I agree. And, you know, every generation tends to relive their youth and tell the next generation that it was so much simpler then. Well, I guess that's the way it feels to all of us after having gone through it once and then watching our children experience their generation. But those memories from childhood, especially that you just mentioned, things like Marshall Fields and the Walnut Room and the Christmas tree, things the Cardinal mentions in his interview and things that you and I and so many others share and enjoy and remember, those are really important memories for growing up in this community that we've all been a part of for so many years.
It must have been fun doing this CD, putting it together, because, of course, the great song Sleigh Ride, and you have some excerpts from the Nutcracker, Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker, which is certainly a tradition around Christmas time, and, of course, your Christmas festival with a whole bunch of songs. If you're not in the Christmas spirit after you listen to that, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, that's one of those great pieces. That was created by Leroy Anderson for the Boston Pops back in the late 1940s. It's called A Christmas Festival, and it's been recorded many times by many orchestras, but it remains just one of those really beautiful, great pieces of music for the holiday season. It's like you said, it's got everything from the holidays incorporated into one piece, and it's a wonderful presentation by Leroy Anderson.
You know, in the past there have been great orchestras, and I'm trying to think, you know better than I, the Franz Bentler and the Golden Strings or something?
When he Franz Bentler and the Royal Strings.
Royal Strings, yeah, okay. Who else was?
There was the Jovito Orchestra. Bentler. There was... Right. There's Dick Judson, who's still around and playing, and there's been so many wonderful...
Stanley Paul, I think he was one. But, you know, in contemporary orchestras, though, nobody does it better than the Rich Daniels and the City Lights Orchestra. I mean, people are so familiar with your work and so familiar with the philanthropic things you do, Richie, that you're willing to take your time and donate your time, especially with Mercy Home for Boys and Girls that you're so involved in. But you're always there to help. You're always there to respond. You know, you're an example of that old saying that Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give.
Well, those are beautiful words, and that's a kind gesture on your part to mention all that. But it's something that I think for many of us we believe is a moral imperative, something we're supposed to do. It's really not an option in life, that if we've been given so many things in life, if we've been blessed in so many ways, that it's our job to find a way to give back to others around us to do what we can to help their lives be better, to make the world a better place, even in small ways. And that's how most of us affect any change. It's in very small ways. But again, you know, when you touch one life, you never know how far that'll reach into the future.
Well, didn't the nuns teach us that, whether it was a Tommy Moore or St. Dennis or Christ the King or whatever?
Well, yeah, but they did it through intimidation.
Yeah,
that was a whole
different
fear for your life.
No. Well, you've been in the music business for a long time. Of course, you're a Brother Ice Crusader. You played in the band there. How did you evolve from there, Richie?
Well, the band started when I was a freshman at Brother Ice. We started in the summer of 1974 as the Big Band Machine, and so we just literally celebrated our 40th anniversary. From the Big Band Machine, we morphed into the City Lights Orchestra about 25 years ago, but it was a continuous flow from 74 till the present that we've had with the orchestra. And it's you know, a lot of mentors, a lot of great people. At Brother Ice, there was a man named Leo Henning who was instrumental in my
right.
career development early on. There was the music store on the south side that virtually everybody shopped at called Quinlan and Faber's
yeah.
Music.
Yeah.
George Quinlan, who just passed away about a year ago. We played at his funeral mass at St. Thomas More. And he owns, and now his son does, one of the largest independent music stores in the country, Quinlan and Faber's Music has become. And they touched a lot of lives. And George was a mentor in many ways. Leo Henning, a man named Jim Moore, who with his son Michael Moore and another gentleman named Paul Seaman, who is now Father Paul Seaman. The three of us actually started the band 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Moore, the father of Mike Moore, was in one of the old Army Air Force big bands. He was an Air Force guy who was in the big band with the Army Air Force. And he rehearsed us. He worked with us. He showed up on the gigs. I mean, he was there every step along the way for years, volunteering his time to what we were doing, and so helpful in what we were trying to achieve.
That's kind of exciting. And here you are now. You know, I remember talking with Brett Batterson one time. I had had the opportunity of having Herb Alpert and his wife Lanny Hall on the show, and we were talking. And he said, do you think you can get in touch with him? I said, you know, sure I could. What's the purpose? He said, well, what about doing a little concert here with Rich Daniels and his group with Herb Alpert? I said, that'd be awesome. I said, we should think about that, you know. So that might be a conversation we should be having.
Well, you know, that's funny. I've talked to Brett. I mean, Brett and I talk regularly because we do things at the theater, but he did actually mention Herb Alpert and Lanny Hall as a concert possibility, but he didn't give you credit, so we're going to have to go back and revisit that.
Yeah, very nice people, and you wouldn't think because of the big star that Herb Alpert is, but certainly one of the nicest people I've ever had on the show. Very, very warm and welcoming, and so forth.
Yeah,
and of course,
beyond what he's done as a recording artist and all that, I mean, his huge impact was owning A&M Records. I mean,
right.
One of the largest labels in the world at their time.
This is exciting. Have you got a good response for this CD?
It's been wonderful. It's been very rewarding. It's been wonderful. A lot of people have responded. A lot of purchases have been made. A lot of organizations have bought multiple copies to give as Christmas gifts.
That's great.
To give out to clients. So it's been very, very good.
It's a great Christmas gift and certainly something that everyone will cherish for as a tradition to listen to this, especially, again, as I said before, the conversation you had with the Cardinal. Now, if people would like to get a CD or get some information about it?
Sure, they can go to our website, citylightsorchestra.com, and there's a picture of the Cardinal on there. You can click on his picture of the Cardinal, it'll take you right to the CD page, or they can go to citylightsorchestra.com/CD, and that'll take you right to the purchase page for the CD.
The history of Rich Daniels and the City Lights Orchestra encompasses more than three decades of enthralling performances, collaborations with world-renowned musicians, countless awestruck audiences, and substantial critical acclaim. Since 1974, Rich Daniels has been making music professionally and appearing across the country at private events and concerts. Some of the illustrious artists he and his orchestras have accompanied include Ray Charles, a frequent collaborator, Mel Torme, Burt Bacharach, Dionne Warwick, Dennis DeYoung, Diane Schur, Diane Carroll, Michael Bublé, David Foster, the Four Tops, Smokey Robinson, the Manhattan Transfer, and Garth Brooks. And on the line with us right now is our good pal, Rich Daniels, the Cardinals Christmas Concert featuring the City Lights Orchestra conducted by Rich Daniels and with a very special guest, Francis Cardinals George, recorded live at Holy Family Catholic Church in Chicago. His newest CD, Christmas CD, something that everybody should have for Christmas and enjoy. One more time if people would like to get it, Richie.
Sure. Thanks, Kevin. It's citylightsorchestra.com or citylightsorchestra.com/CD. Take you right to the page.
My pal, always a pleasure. I will wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And anything we can do to help get the word out, you know we're always here for you, my pal. And if anything comes up with Mercy, Home for Boys and Girls, you know, let us know.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Can't tell you how grateful I am to be on your show.
God bless you, my pal.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas. Thank you, Richie. Richie Daniels, one of the greats in Chicago. And this is a great CD. You have to get it because it's really tender. It's touching, especially, as I said before, not to be too redundant, but the conversation that Rich has with Francis Cardinal George really shows his humanity and something that we all should take time to enjoy. Sleigh Ride, one of my favorites. And we're going to be featuring his music here on the show here, and that's coming one of the songs we're going to be enjoying again, Sleigh Ride and the Christmas Festival. But if you get a chance, Rich Daniels has a website. He'll have some information about the CD, and we certainly wish he and his family a very Merry Christmas. Brightside Theater, Naperville's only professional theater performing in the historic downtown district, begins its fourth season with Joel Andrews' adaptation of the holiday classic tale, It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play. Directed by Brightside Theater Artistic Director Jeffrey Kiasson, playing through December 14th at the theater at Miley Swallow Hall at North Central College, 31 South Ellsworth Avenue in Naperville. Tickets are on sale at brightsidetheater.com or by calling 630-637-SHOW. Celebrate this holiday season by gathering your friends and family of all ages and step back in time to 1946 on Christmas Eve at the WBST radio studios and be part of the live audience broadcast of It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play. Watch five actors bring this beloved American holiday classic to captivating life as they play 50 different characters, create all the live sound effects, and perform all the music in this event of retelling of the timeless story. With the perfect blend of Christmas cheer and theatrical magic, audiences will fall in love all over again with George Bailey and the angel named Clarence, who saved his life on Christmas Eve. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning director, having staged such classic plays as Tommy, Crazy for You, Beauty and the Beast, and You're in Town. Jeffrey has appeared in Edwin Drood, Jekyll and Hyde, Joseph, and The Man of La Mancha. Proud graduate of musical theater performance from Roosevelt University College of the Performing Arts, one of the brightest young stars in the world of Chicago theater, and the artistic director of Brightside Theater, now presenting It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play at North Central College's Theater at Miley Swallow Hall in downtown Naperville, November 28th through December 14th, Mr. Jeffrey Cass. Jeff, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you, Kevin.
What a great play, and what a great time it must be to put this on.
It really is. It really is a great story.
You know, it's a classic. It's something that we return to every year, much like the tradition of going to the Nutcracker or watching Scrooge and a Christmas Carol. And it's a little more contemporary in time related to those. But when you see this play, there's never a dry eye in the house.
You know, it's quite true. We've just, opened on November 28th, so we've had our first full weekend of shows, and it's been so great to see the audience's reaction to the show. And you're right, it is an emotional, moving show, and it's really found its way into our Americana of what is Christmas here now, right? With, like, A Christmas Carol,
right,
and other traditional classic shows. And it is modern, and it, you know, it, I think it resonates with us so much today as it did, you know, and will continue to do because of the themes that it addresses of just, you know, providing for one's family and what is one's place in this world and making your mark in it and living your dream. And, I mean, you know, it's about making the mortgage and having a family and paying the bills and trying to get by, and who can't relate to that, you know?
It's every man's tale, and we're every man watching it and listening it. You know, it was
exactly
Frank Capra's favorite film. It was Jimmy Stewart's favorite film, mm-hmm, and it was from a short story, The Greatest Gift by Philip Van Doren Stern.
Yep.
And interesting story, he couldn't get it published, so he wrote it as a Christmas card to his relatives
right
and friends.
That's right. And strangely enough, when the movie first came out, it wasn't really well received.
No, not at all, right.
Yeah. Yeah, it took a while before it caught on.
But boy, you can't turn on TV now without watching it constantly. And it's fun. And as I said before, I do it. I tear up every time I see it every year, and I see it every year more than once.
Yeah.
And now the generations that come and go certainly enjoy it also.
Yeah, and you know, for me and for my generation, I mean, I see it and I remember my father watching it every year, you know, and I think that's what people connect to as well, because it's one of those shows that was on the television when, you know, you were younger or a part of your family watched it together, you know, and it takes you back to that memory and to that moment, you know, of joy, of just sitting around and watching this program on television and a simpler time, you know, a simpler moment in your life.
And what you're doing, Jeffrey, too, is you're doing the radio play. So it's unique to the fact that you could close your eyes, just like people were listening, like listen to my show or listen on the radio to this story and feel the same way. Of course, they want to see what you're doing because it's so, you know, something we're not familiar with, how they put this on, how they put a radio show on.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, and we actually have audiences that were telling us as they're coming out, like, it was so cool that they could close their eyes and just, like, picture this whole world in front of them. What's really cool about our stage, too, is we have a three-quarter thrust stage. So the stage comes out into the audience. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, you could, like, I guess, just put three microphones across the stage and actors get up and talk to, you know, to the mics when it's their turn. But what we've done is we've moved two of the microphones really far downstage and one's upstage. So the actors are constantly moving, and it kind of helps move the story along. It kind of helps differentiate with the characters along with the characterizations that the actors have brought to the table already. But then with that, there's a Foley table on stage, and that's where all the live sound effects are made. And so we're using, like, a head of cabbage for the punches. We hit that, and, like, we have a big tub of water that we do stuff with when, like, you know, Clarence and George jump into the river, and we break things for the glass when they're shattering the windows at the mansion, when George and Mary see it when they throw rocks at the windows, and the door and the shoes to make the footsteps and stuff like that. So that's been a lot of fun. And then we also have a piano on stage. So normally when I the script says that you have, you know, a Foley artist and a piano player, and then you have five actors. Well, I kind of took it up a notch and said, well, why don't we have the actors make the sound effects and play the piano, too? So they're even moving even more so, and that gives the audience even more to watch. Like, oh, my gosh, how is that actor going to get over there and make that sound effect and then come back and do the voice? And then, oh, that one person's got to get over there and play the piano and then come back and do this voice and stuff like that. So it's really kept it really entertaining to watch, but you're right. You can sit back and just close your eyes and just kind of hear the story take place, and it's really cool when you do that, especially with the sound effects.
And by virtue of the fact the way the theater is set up, it makes the audience participatory in the whole process, the way you have it put together.
Absolutely. It's right. And so when the audience comes in, when we open the theater for audience to start seating, shortly after that the actors come out on stage and start doing an audience warm-up, because we want the audience to participate, because they are the audience in this live broadcast that we're doing. So we need them to applaud when it's time to applaud, and we need them to laugh, and we need to be a part of it. And we even have commercial breaks during the show.
Oh, the old commercials?
Live commercials.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we have live commercials, and we have the audience participate in those as well. And so, yeah, the audience is definitely a part of this show as, you know, as much as the actors are on stage.
Has your dad, is he around to be able to see it?
He is. He's actually coming this weekend, so I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I bet he'll have a ball.
Yeah,
that'll be great. It sounds like you're having fun doing it.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's really, you know, it's been a while since I've done a show that's, like, connected to the holiday season, you know, and it has a special sentiment to it. And, you know, we've really, we just walked in the Parade of Lights parade in Naperville promoting the show.
Right.
And it's really been great to see the people of Naperville embrace the show and really come around it.
I don't want to fail to mention something that Brightside Theater does so very well, and you do so very well, and that's paying it forward. It's always been your goal to give back to the community and the area that supports your work and what you do. And each season, you know, you choose certain productions to donate to nonprofits. Tell us a little bit about that, Jeff.
Yeah, so in previous seasons, we've always found another non-for-profit that kind of has a connection to one of the shows that we're doing in the season that kind of makes sense. So, like, when we did Rent, we connected with a youth outreach program, Youth 360, which serves at-risk youth in the DuPage County area. For It's a Wonderful Life, we've partnered with the Toy for Tots chapter in DuPage County. So we're asking that if anyone from the audience brings an unwrapped toy to the performance, they will be entered to win tickets that evening or at that performance for our upcoming show, Rumors, which we'll be doing in March. And that becomes part of the show as well. So there is a time that, you know, during that pre-show, they bring the gifts up and they get to put it under our Christmas tree. And then during one of the commercial breaks, we actually, they get a raffle ticket. And then during one of the commercial breaks, we pull the raffle ticket and the winner comes on stage. And we announce their name, where they're from, and we ask them a couple questions, and they become part of the show, just as they would on a live radio program.
That's exciting. I bet you're exciting for the audience to participate
in that. The audience loved it. They really have,
And it's a wonderful thing that you're doing, and God bless you for taking what you're doing and make it so worthwhile to the people that you serve.
Thank you so much.
As it's said in the classic, It's a Wonderful Life, you see, George, each man's life touches many other lives, and when he's not around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he?
Yeah.
This play is like an American version of Dickens' A Christmas Carol, but there are some differences between the two apart from time and place. In A Christmas Carol, Scrooge is given a chance to change the way he lives his life. In A Wonderful Life, the hero, George Bailey, is given the chance to change the way he looks at life, an adjustment in the way he sees his place in the world. He doesn't need to change the way he acts, just the way he looks at life. George, you've had a wonderful life. At this time of year, when many of us are taking stock of our lives, looking back on the past year, making wishes for the present, and getting ready to make resolutions for the future, we are always drawn to this story. George wasn't a Superman-type hero. He was like many of us, a human being trying to live life the best way he knows how. And maybe this little story should serve as a gentle reminder to all of us that we are as capable of making small decisions every day and practicing those awesome random acts of kindness that touch many other lives and ultimately, in our small actions, change the world in big ways. Brightside Theater, Naperville's only professional theater performing in the historic downtown district, begins its fourth season with Joel Andrews' adaptation of the holiday classic tale, It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play. Directed by Brightside Theater Artistic Director Jeffrey Cass and playing through December 14th at the theater at Miley Swallow Hall at North Central College, 31 South Ellsworth Avenue in Naperville. Tickets are on sale now at brightsidetheater.com or by calling 630-637-SHOW-7469. And on the line with us right now is the Artistic Director of Brightside Theater, our good friend Jeffrey Cass. Jeff, a delight to chat with you. It's very evident that you're having a ball with this, and I imagine everybody comes out is too.
Yes, absolutely. It's a good time.
And one more time, if people would like to get some information about Brightside Theater.
Sure. Come and visit us online at www.brightsidetheater.com or come on and check us out over at the Miley Swallow Hall.
Congratulations on your success, and let's keep tuned in. And Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you and your family.
To you, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Jeffrey Cass, the Artistic Director of Brightside Theater Group, and certainly doing a great job of presenting culture and arts out in the Naperville area. People are coming from all over. They're really making a mark out there, and he's doing a terrific job. As you can hear in his voice, he's having a lot of fun with It's a Wonderful Life, a radio play. If you need information, again, phone number is 630-637-7469. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guest, Daniel Duell, the founder and artistic director of Ballet Chicago, now sharing a Christmas tradition in Ballet Chicago's 18th presentation of Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker, December 13th through the 21st at the Athenaeum Theater, 2936 North Southport. For information, 312-251-8838. Our good pal Richie Daniels, celebrating his newest Christmas CD, The Cardinals Christmas Concert, featuring the City Lights Orchestra. His newest Christmas CD, for information, 312-644-0600. Bound to like it. It's a lot of great music, certainly exciting CD to cherish and have for your family for years to come. And finally, Jeffrey Cass, the artistic director of Brightside Theater, now presenting It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play at North Central College's Theater at Miley Swallow Hall in downtown Naperville through December 14th. For information, 630-637-7469. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Enjoy the Christmas season.
In your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. If we can be the best lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck then I suppose. The music, the music.